The Bible reading today is taken from John 1, verses 14 to 18, from the NIV. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace, in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Amen.
Grace and truth. I don't know whether you always tell the truth. Grace and truth. Have you always told the truth? I'm not putting you on the spot, but you can put your hands up. No. Have you always told the truth, all of you?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know whether Barbara will be able to remember. Do you remember Sunday school concerts in Sear Green Baptist Church? And I had to learn a poem once. We were nippers, you know. And it was called Mr. Nobody, the poem. And it always was, "Who did this? Mr. Nobody. Who did that wrong? Mr. Nobody." And I had to say this from, it's always Mr. Nobody. Nobody owned up that you did anything wrong. Have you ever had to go in court and promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Has anybody ever had to do that, to give evidence or whatever? You have to. Yes, okay, yeah. I've done it, I think, but I was giving a character reference, and it was a drug addict, and I said to the judge, "Well, I'll do my best to help him, but I don't make any promises." And the judge said, "Well, I'm glad you didn't make any promises, I wouldn't have believed you." But sometimes we have to tell the truth, the whole truth, leaving nothing out, and not embellish it, nothing but the truth. Not to embellish it. So, yes, telling the truth. We live in a world, Putin bases his whole thing on lies. And I guess Boris didn't do too well, and that sometimes our parliament doesn't do too well in the whole matter of truth and telling the truth and the whole truth. This comes from Isaiah. So justice is driven back. Righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. And that's the prophet Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament. Seems a bit modern, doesn't it? Here's another quote. "Truth is so obscure in these times and falsehood so established that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it." Any idea who wrote that? And when? Blaise Pascal in France, 1623. He was there to 1662. That sounds so modern and up to date. Incredible. Rual Gal, I can't remember his name, Gandhi, standing for President of India, threatened with imprisonment to stop him standing, has said, "My religion is based on non-violence. Truth is my God, and non-violence the means to achieve it." He was, he's a grandson of Gandhi, I think, way back, and he's having to, I think he's been imprisoned, or they were threatening him in prison to stop him standing against Modi, you know, and the Indian nationalism of, maybe you know about it, but there we are. So truth. Jesus said, "He is the truth, and he is God." Pray for India and the troubles it's going through, the whole matter of Indian nationalism, and the Christian church is under so many pressure and sometimes persecution because of Modi's, I can't remember, BJP, I think it is, party in India. Telling the truth can sometimes be challenging. We had a friend, she'd gone to be with Jesus now, a friend from college days. Her and her husband met in college and got married while they were still in college, which wasn't allowed, but they did anyway. Liz was working in a shop for ladies' clothing. And some lady, I think she tried a hat on or a dress on, and she came to Liz and she said, "Do I look good in this?" "No, madam, you look horrible. I wouldn't buy it." So she told the truth. I guess she didn't get a sale, but hope she wasn't on a, you know, you get some extra money when you make a sale. But sometimes telling the truth can be challenging. And sometimes a little white lie, especially when we don't want to hurt someone. And we want to be kind and compassionate. It's difficult sometimes just to get it right, I think. Jesus prayed for his disciples and he prays for us with these words. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth, or putting it more modernly, set them apart for God's service by the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus and his teaching is that word. And the word holy can mean pure, but holy vessels in the temple, all the things, they were holy because they were set apart for the use of God, for the service of God and for the worship of God. To be a holy person is to be set apart so that you can serve God and do his will. And the way Jesus prays for his disciples and for us, that we are sanctified, we're set apart by the truth. So let's just think about truth in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, Jesus is the real truth. Truth in John's Gospel can not only mean truth as against error, but it means reality. Jesus is the real thing. He said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." The Old Testament gives us pictures of what God is like and what the Messiah would be like, and I think we probably got them, but Jesus is the real truth of what God is like. This is Psalm 103. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion." That's what our God is like. That's a picture of God from the Old Testament. And another one from Isaiah, talking about now the coming Messiah. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. His teaching to the islands will put their hope." And these are from the Old Testament. We meet the God in the Old Testament. This is a picture of Messiah given in the Old Testament. This is what Messiah would be like. That's what God is like. Both of them pictures, word pictures of what God is like. But Jesus is the real thing. He's not just a picture of what God is like. He is God. He is the Messiah. Do you remember the Easter story? Actually, it's probably on the radio this morning. When Jesus was risen and Mary Magdalene was in the garden at the tomb, seeing the tomb empty and not knowing what had happened, and Jesus met her, and she thought he was the gardener, and she said, "Well, if you know where they put him, please tell me. I want to go and attend to it." And you know, Jesus said, "Mary." And suddenly she realized, "Rabboni, teacher." And she dropped and took hold of his feet. But Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me now." She wanted to hold on to the body of Jesus, the bodily Jesus, and hold him there. But Jesus said, no, I have to return to heaven. Don't hold me, I've got to go back to heaven. But Jesus is the real thing, and he's with us all the time. I'd rather have Coralie, my wife, with me in person than just a picture. When I went to college in Bristol, I took a photograph of Coralie with me. She had a photograph of me. And I loved the picture, and I loved having the picture with me. But it was much better when she came to visit or when I went home and was actually with her. The other one, I think the bottom one there, I think that one is...
1959?
Yeah, before we were married. Before we were married. Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. But the point is, you know, I love the pictures of Coralie, and I've got a lot, but it's much better having her with me. And that's the case with Jesus. He's the real thing. There were pictures of what God was like in the Old Testament, but it was much better to have Jesus with us. And he is with us, and he's full of grace and truth. And he is with us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is with us now. I will never leave you, said Jesus. He's with us. And we need to take that on board. I notice that in our reading, it's full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses, but truth and grace came through, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I like the idea that grace comes before truth. Listen to this. God loves us so much that he tells us the truth. Okay? God loves us so much that he tells us the truth. In fact, in John's Gospel, it says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, 26 times. I'm not going to go through all of those. You might like to look it up. But here's some. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he or she is born again. I tell you the truth. I noticed in this morning or yesterday, the any questions when they debate, you know, political things, and you have different politicians or whatever, and one woman kept saying, I tell her the truth. This is the truth. Anyway, that's beside the point. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. I tell you the truth. Water and Spirit, born of water and the Spirit. To be honest with you, I don't know quite what the first means. Does it mean we have to be born physically through our mothers and then born again through the Holy Spirit? That's one interpretation. Or does it mean that we have, yes, to be baptized, but baptism in itself is not enough? We have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again of God's Spirit. But either way, we need to be born again. How do we get born again? Well, we repent of our sins. I'm not a sinner. Do you know what the Bible says? If you say that, you're lying, and you're making God to be a liar too. But if we confess our sins and turn to God with repentance, then God will forgive us all our sins. It's that hymn. Yes, my sins are very many. Is God's grace so full and free? Yes! And I love that verse and I love that thought. You know, we are born again when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, I tell you the truth, do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, Jesus, will give you. Again, I tell you the truth, the one who believes has eternal life. That's going back when we're a little earlier. You know, we're going to live forever by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us the truth. But do we believe the truth? Or do we sometimes believe lies. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians about the armour of God that we need to put on. Perhaps I don't put it on enough. Maybe you don't put it in enough. But one of those pieces of armour is the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We need to be strengthened and we need to be defended by the truth. A belt of truth. Have you put it on today? Or do we believe lies? And I've just put up some of the lies that sometimes we believe. You're not good enough. You'll never make it. You'll never make it good. I'm too old. Not looking anywhere. I'm too young. Someone has said to you, you're rubbish, and you believed it. Or someone has said, you're not smart enough, you're not really clever. You're not attractive enough. I've made too many mistakes. What if I fail? Some people have had others say to you, you're a disappointment. Yes, I've heard of some people whose parents said to them, or a parent has said to them, I wish you'd been a girl, I only wanted a girl, or I wish you'd been a boy, I really wanted a boy. I tell you one of mine. When I was approaching a certain age, I wrote my story for my children and my grandchildren. And it's really my story, but it's really our story, because very quickly Coralie somehow gets in on it. I don't know why, but anyway. And I've called it Grace Upon Grace from this reading. One blessing after another is a modern translation, but Grace Upon Grace. And one of the stories in here is about me taking on negatives, taking on lies. I was in a certain church, I was their pastor, and someone looked me in the eye one day because they disagreed with me and said, I'll never trust you again. And I continued to seek to love and to care and to bless, but somehow Satan buried that within me. You're not trustworthy. You can't be trusted. And when I moved on to another church in North Wales, I went to a minister's meeting. I've told the story in here. I went to a minister's meeting, Baptist ministers, you know, and I've always had a kind of self-inferiority complex when it comes to ministers. And I would go into the room full of Baptist ministers thinking, well, they're all successful ministers. And I would put my bag down and go into the gents, you know, just to sort of calm myself down and then go and meet them. Anyway, the worship started and I sat right at the back because, you know, and they were singing a song about trusting God. Chap was leading, long hair, guitar, didn't know him, never met him, and he was leading a song in about trusting God. Okay, I started to cry in the back of the. I'm a little bit like that. I do cry sometimes. At the back of the meeting, I started to cry, and then this guy put in a line into the song that wasn't in the song. Do you know what I mean? He said, because you trust us, God, because we trust you, you trust us. And I wailed. I just cried my heart out. I got up, I went rushing down the aisle to this chap who'd never met me before, threw my arms around him, and they ministered to me. And I was set free from this whole kind of lie that I wasn't trustworthy. And I think we need to think of what lies we might be living by. The truth is, God loves you. I'll come to that in a minute. But I want you to say there are other lies, like the science has disproved the Bible. The Bible isn't true. God doesn't hear prayer. God cannot be good with all the suffering in the world. There's loads of lies. I know two very top-flight scientists, both believers. I know of two others who are, top flight. In fact, the American scientist whose name was misses my mind, he discovered the whole human genome system, you know, that they know genetics and the whole that. He was instrumental in discovering all of that. He wasn't a Christian, but through discovering it, he became a Christian and a top leading scientist. The name will come to me. We can live by lies. Friends, the fact is, the truth is, God loves us, God loves you. Can I say that? The truth is, God loves you as if he'd never loved anybody else. He loves you. God is love, and God loves us and will love us because God is love. And in a minute we're going to try and get rid of some of the negatives. The devil is the father of lies. Jesus said when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And if Satan can trap us in a lie or a negativity, he'll hold us there as long as he can. The devil is the father of lies. Jesus is the truth. I tell you the truth. And just said Jesus, the truth will set you free from Satan's lies. He will set you free from sin, of course, yes, but from those lies which the devil so often tells us. So let's just go through this, and we'll do it together in just a moment. We need to reject the lies. We need to face the truth about ourselves. Yeah, we're all sinners. I used to be, when I was young, instead of putting my hand up or putting my leg up, I used to lay on my back and put all four up, you know. Yes, I'm a sinner. I'm too old for that. I can't do it now. But yes, we're all sinners. We need to face the truth. We need to believe the truth that God loves us and offers us his grace and mercy, forgiveness and eternal life. We need to know the truth. That is, we need to know Jesus. We need to learn the truth, to seek it, to love it. Your word is truth. That's an interesting Blaise Pascal, that quote from way back. He said, unless we love the truth, we'll never find it. Well, we've got to sometimes seek the truth and then find it in Jesus Christ. We have to seek it through his word, the Bible. Then we have to speak the truth in love, says the Bible. Speak the truth, but in love. That hat looks horrible on you. I wouldn't wear it ever again. That's not really loving, isn't it? Sweetheart, I don't think that hat quite fits you. Maybe something a little, you know, just gently. We need to speak the truth. We need to speak it in love. And then, of course, we have to share the truth with others. And that's not easy. That's not easy. Let's just be still with God. Father God, I don't know the folks here, Father, but you know each one of them. You love them. And my first prayer, Lord, would be that you would let them know right now that you love them. Lord, and I put myself in amongst them, Lord, that you love us. And Lord, where there's any uncertainty about that, if there's, Lord, any lies been planted, I'm not good enough, or I'm not a good Christian, or I haven't been the best, this, that, or the other, I could have done better. Father God, would you come by your Holy Spirit now and take out the negatives and take out the lies that so often keep us captive. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Savior. You're the Redeemer. And you're the defeater of Satan on the cross through your shed blood. And through your resurrection power, you are Lord. And right now, Jesus, I pray that you would exercise your lordship over any lies, untruths, any negativities that have kept us captive, Lord. Deliver us now. Deliver us by your grace and truth. And come, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, and touch and fill our lives again, so that we may walk with you in truth and faith and love. Father, if we've told lies and we regret it, and it's within our powers to put things right, give us humility and grace to do that. And then, Father God, help us to know the truth and to share that truth in love wherever possible. Make us ambassadors of the truth that is the Lord Jesus Christ, both in the way we live and the way we speak. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.